Okay, Isaiah 17, verse 6, talking about the repentance of a minority. This could be a minority at the time of the invasion by Assyria, or it could be the result of the Babylonian invasion a bit later. Anyway, gleanings will be left there, like the shaking of an olive tree, two or three olives in the top of the uppermost bough, four to five in the outermost branches of a fruitful tree. So the idea is that the tree of Israel, the olive tree, was just going to have a few who would repent. And those olives would have been struck down from the higher branches with a stick. And that rod or stick is clearly defined as Babylon or Assyria in Isaiah chapter 10. So as a result of that, there was intended to be the repentance of a minority. And you read about that in the next verse, Isaiah 17, verse 7. In that day, a man will look to his Maker, and his eyes shall perceive the Holy One of Israel. So repentance is perceiving God. It's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to know God. And you really know him when you look to him in repentance. That is why if you will not accept your sinfulness, if you will not repent, if repentance is not a regular part of your spiritual path, you won't know this. You will know about God, but not know God himself. And so he talks about repentance here as a man looking to his Maker. And it's as if the fact that we are made in the image of God means that somehow we naturally want to draw near to him. And Paul says the same, really, in Acts 14, where he reasons that because we are made in God's image, therefore it is intuitive to us to return, to repent, to come to him, although we need a preacher to actually join the dots and make it specific. It's like a child who misbehaves. There is a natural intuitive desire to say sorry at some point to the parent. And it's only our pride that blocks that process. It is, to some degree, a natural intuitive process to repent. And he goes on, having said that a man in that day will look to his Maker in repentance, they will not look to the altars, the work of their hands, neither shall they respect that which their fingers have made. So we read that we are created by God in his image, and that all creation is the work of his hands, and it is all the work of his fingers. You remember Psalm 8, verse 3, that talks about how God's fingers made the stars and all of creation. So they will look, these repentant people, to their Maker, who has made them, rather than to that which they have made. So you see the contrast, that we either look to our Maker or we look in vain to that which we have made. So following that thought through, it follows really that all idolatry, in whatever form it is really a worship of the created, as Paul puts it in Romans 1, rather than the Creator. And so, as I say, it should be natural and intuitive to worship the Creator. But unfortunately, our pride in our own works, in our own creations, the work of our fingers and hands, leads us to not do that. And so you see the implications of God as our Creator. It is all set up, as I say in Acts 14, Paul makes this explicit. It's all intended so that repentance and looking to him as our Maker is intuitive. But it is human pride and our preference to trust in our own works and to think that we are somehow the Creator which stops that. And this is where the reality of God as Creator is intended to humble us. If God is Creator and we are created, then look to him in humility and in repentance, and don't look to what you have made or the created, what others have made. And so it's one thing to say that, yeah, I accept creation, I accept that God made me, But it has huge implications. You will not then worship your own strength. You will not trust in what you have made or what man has made. But you're going to look to him. And as I say, in a healthy, humble spiritual life, that is the natural way. That is the intuitive way. Don't let your pride block that.